Well, it's fun to be in Wilson here. There's several of you that have been down and put a hand to the work in Valles. And I just want to tell you that it's a blessing to be able to work together and see what God's doing and what God does through us. I just want to give a little bit of a report what's happening. Some of you were asking me before service what's going on. We got a few pictures. We got a lot more, but I told Diane, well, why don't we put everything we got out there? And she goes, well, we got to just put a few so that everybody, you know, just a sample of what's going on. So we just got a board out there with a sample of different things. But the building, the walls and the roof are all completely done. We got about a fifth of the floor poured, maybe. The auditorium isn't poured, but we got two sides of the auditorium. It's in the middle, and then the sides. We got one side completely poured. We got the walls up, and in the prayer room, the offices, and some of the classrooms, all one side. The rooms are all done. This year, we had the Vacation Bible School out there, so we put some dates, and we decided to go ahead and have the Vacation Bible School out there. We're taking a step of faith, and it was interesting because we needed to get the walls up. We didn't get them completely stuccoed or anything, but we got them at least set in place so we could have classrooms. And we took a step of faith, and I was trying to wire, and I got some lights up, so we got lights with the generator. We had classrooms, we had lights, and we bought 10 fans, so we had a fan in each classroom. People have asked me in the past, because we have an activity out there about once a month, and somebody asked me, well, what if it rains? Because you that have been there know that when you're going out of there, it gets slippery going up there, and it's pretty hard getting out of there. And some of the cars, if you don't know how to drive, it's like driving on ice. You can't get out. So some of the people were saying, well, what if it rains? And when we came to the point where we said we're going to have Vacation Bible School out there, I said, I don't want to hear anybody say, if it rains. I said, if anybody says, if it rains, I'm liable to duke you out. So I said, nobody can say, if it rains. I said, we're just going to take a step of faith and believe God's going to give us nice weather. Well, the first night, it was a Monday night, first night of Vacation Bible School. We were supposed to finish up at 7 o'clock. About 5 minutes of 7, this big black cloud rolls over. I mean, we had a rain. It rained for about a half hour, just downpoured so hard that, I mean, you couldn't even see, you couldn't even hear. The building, it's got steel, and it's got styrofoam under the steel, so it blocks a lot of sound, but it was raining so hard, it was just unreal. And so it continued raining, but it was raining less, and so the first car goes out. We had about 20 cars down there. The first car made it out. The second car, it was still raining, and they came back running saying, we need help. So we started pushing cars out of there at 8 o'clock. I think it was 12:30 when we finally got the last car out of there, because we broke our tow ropes. One car ran out of gas. We thought that the engine, something happened to the engine, and here all it was out of gasoline, and it was stuck on the middle of the hill. We couldn't figure out if we could push it up or push it down, and it was wild, but God tested us on it. And the rest of the week, it was beautiful weather. We've been able to cut the grass clear and cut the grass out in front. It's a 5-acre piece of land. We have all the grass cut, and it's like a huge yard out there now. And the kids had a wonderful time. We had, what was it, about 110 kids, I think, we had in our Vacation Bible School. So it was great. And so people are asking me, well, when are you going to move into it? So we set a date. I was praying, and God told me, do you want a birthday present? And I said, yeah, God, give me a birthday present. And I didn't know what God was going to give me for a birthday present. He says, if you want a birthday present, I'll give you a birthday present. I says, yeah, God, what is it? He says, if you'll take a step of faith, you can move into the building for your birthday. My birthday's on the 6th of December, so on the 5th of December, it's a Sunday, we're going to move into the building. And people ask me, well, what if we don't have lights? And I say, we're going to move into the building if we have lights, or if we don't have lights, we're going to figure out how we're going to do it. We got one generator. If we have to put another generator up, we're going to put another generator up. And we're making plans for a grand opening or a dedication service sometime in February. So if you're filling out your calendar for 2005 and you want to come to Mexico, it'd be an opportunity to get a group together and come on down. I know I'm going to see a few of you down there for that. But I want to share a little bit more with you, but I want to go to the Word and just share as we go. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, I just want to share a few things. God's doing some neat stuff, and the interesting thing to me is that wherever you go, whether it be the United States or another country, God seems to always be doing the same thing in different cultures, but it's basically the same work. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, I just want to read in verse... Oh, did I leave my glasses somewhere? Oh, here they are. That's Lowell's fault. That's Lowell's fault. I still joke around Lowell because the first time he came down to help us put some air conditioners in, I was only about 40 then. I'm only like 41 now. No, it's been a few years ago. But Lowell, he was trying to read something, and he's getting, "Where's my glasses? Where are my glasses? Doing one of these?" And I was laughing as I was kind of making fun of him a little bit. I says, "Yeah, you're getting old. You need glasses." He says, "Yeah, you just wait." He says, "How old are you?" And so I got what I reaped and what I sowed because I was laughing at Lowell. Now I need to, but I'm not moving up. I'm staying with the 125s. Deuteronomy and chapter 30 and verse 11, it says, Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it or proclaim it to us so we may obey it, nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. I like this verse because it says, now what I am commanding you today, God is commanding each one of us to do something today. Not every one of us is called to go to Mexico. Not every one of us is called to stand up and preach, maybe, or to teach, but God's calling each one of us to do an exciting thing. I look at the people who have come down to Mexico and helped us. I mean, that's a calling. That's something that you're saying, hey, I'll do that. That's something I can do and answer the call. There's other people that can pray and intercede. There's other people that can give financially. There's other people that can just be a blessing where they're at. I just feel like today in what God is doing, we're seeing revival going on in Mexico. And revival is when the Church of Jesus Christ starts to understand what's our role and what's our place in the world. And it's so exciting because there's so many different people that are finding their niche in life, finding what God is calling them to do. But the most dangerous thing I find with all that is when we compare ourselves to other people. And we look at other people and we say, I can't do that, or I can't do what that person's doing, or I'll never be able to obtain that. That's our first mistake. God doesn't compare one to another. And what God has called you to do is a special thing. It's something that no one else can do, but you can do. We have a young guy, and I just want to tell you a little bit about him. He's been saved probably about a year, and he's 15 years old, and he learned how to play the saxophone. We bought a saxophone last year when we were up because Diane said, I want to teach somebody how to play the saxophone. So she taught him how to play saxophone, and he's a good saxophone. He's just got a natural talent to play saxophone. But it's so interesting because he's one of these guys that when he picks up the saxophone, he's got an anointing on his life. His name is Emmanuel. He picks up the saxophone, he's got an anointing on his life. He puts the saxophone down, it's just Emmanuel. He's just all goofing off and playing around and all this different stuff. Well, one Sunday night in the service, I was sitting there and I had my hands raised and God was just, it was just a sweet spirit, beautiful spirit going on at church and everything. And the music was just beautiful and everything. I opened up my eyes. And there's Emmanuel standing up there. He's got a sax. He's got a Band-Aid on his nose. He didn't have the Band-Aid on his nose when we started the service, but now he's got a Band-Aid on his nose. And just, I mean, I just about cracked up because, I mean, here's the guy, for no reason at all, just puts a Band-Aid on his nose during the praise. This is the kind of guy he is. And you think, this guy is not going to be able, you know, I mean, come on, get a life. You know, what's going on here? After service, and then about, by the time we got done, I closed my eyes again because I thought, I'm not going to look at him. I need to enter in here, you know, so I wasn't going to look at him. Then I opened up my eyes, you know, about 10 minutes later, and the Band-Aid's gone. So after service, I said, well, Emmanuel, what happened? Did you hurt yourself? No, he says, I said, what'd you put the Band-Aid on? Oh, I just put a Band-Aid on my nose. But he's I'm telling you this because each one of us is different, and God uses, you know, our different talents and not so talents, and but he was all excited. He's in the youth group, and we're talking about school starting. And we said, well, what can we do? What's God going to do this year? And we're just talking about, you know, going to their schools and making a difference. And he's moving from one school to another. There was another guy in the youth group in the church that was going to be going to that same school. So the first day of school, I wasn't down there when school started. I called back and talked to the youth leader, and he's telling me about this because he said that Emmanuel was all excited. We went to school, and he told this other guy, Fridays we're going to pray. So the first week, the Friday, they prayed. And after they got done praying, he was able to lead somebody to the Lord, brought him to the youth group, brought him to Sunday, to church. And he's all excited about this, because he was able to lead somebody to the Lord, bring them to church, bring them to youth group. And I'm saying, I'm telling you this because each one of us has a different, you know, you look at a guy like Emmanuel and you think, man, this guy, you know, he's not got a spiritual bone in his body. You know, what is he ever going to be able to do for God? Somebody that's playing, I mean, what would you think if somebody puts a band-aid on their nose and prays worship? I mean, you play piano, you know, musicians, they understand, you know, you need to be in the spirit. Well, I'm telling you, God uses each and every one of us, and it's so neat. And I see right now today, what God's doing all over the world, because the world's messed up. The world doesn't know. We have the same type of problems here that, or in Mexico, that you have here. And some days you just want to throw up your hand and you say, where do we start? Where do we start? It's so messed up. The world is such a mess. But, you know, and I believe there's not, I believe we need to vote. I believe that we need to pray. But I mean, I believe we need to believe. I think we need to believe God can do miraculous things and use each and every one of us. There's nothing impossible for God. There's people out there that are tattooing themselves, the people that are doing all this weird stuff, and we look at them and we say, man, are you guys a mess? I saw one young guy when I was up here in a convenience store. I went in to get gas. I went in to pay. And I looked across, and I see this guy. He's got about 5 rings in his ears. He's got a couple rings in his lips, and he's got a ring in his nose like we used to put in the bowls. I mean, I saw it, and I almost started laughing at it because it looked so strange, so funny for me from a farming background, because we used to put rings in bulls' noses. But, you know, that he's making a statement. He's looking for something. He's looking for something. There's somebody that can touch his life, and I believe one of us, you know, could touch his life. One of us could make a difference in his life. And I think the realization of what life is all about is starting to come to a head today. And I believe that God's using us in miraculous ways, in different ways. And here it's saying, the things that he's commanding us to do, they're not too difficult for us and not beyond us. And we don't have to wait until we get to heaven. It says, you don't have to go up to heaven to get it. It's right here where we're at. I think that today, God is starting to reveal to us that we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to do something for God. It's right now where we're at. Because once we get to heaven, what we're done for God is going to already be done. So today is the day. And you don't have to say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. I can't witness. You have something you can do. You have something you can do. And the only person that knows what you can do is you and God. And you just need to get with God and find out what that is that he wants you to do. It says in verse 15, it says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. There's a land that God is giving you. You're already in a land, and I believe God wants to extend. In Mexico, we're talking about, for about the last year and a half, we've been talking about going up another level. Going up another level, you can talk about extending. The Bible talks about extending your territory. It's the same deal. It's going on from where you're at. It's not just staying where you're at. It's going somewhere else. It's extending. It's going up. And it's so easy to be comfortable where we're at. It's so easy to just continue doing the same routine that we've always done, because in that, we feel comfortable. I remember the first time that I left rural Wisconsin and took off for McAllen, Texas to learn Spanish. It was like, I'd never been, I mean, a big trip for Diane and I was to go up to Stillwater, from Emerald to Stillwater, to buy groceries once a month. And I mean, that was a big trip. I mean, it took us 2 days to get ready for that and take the kids over to her mom's, you know, with all the what do you call it, the height chairs and all the stuff that we needed to leave there when we went. And it was a big thing. So when we went to McAllen, Texas, I mean, when I got on the highway, I mean, I can remember driving down the highway with my kids and a trailer behind and a couple car top carriers on top of the van, everything that we had. And I'm driving down the highway, and my hands are just sweating, and I'm hanging on the steering wheel. I mean, I was way out of my comfort zone. I knew nothing. I knew nobody out there. All of a sudden, I realized, when you live in a small town like Emerald or Wilson, I mean, if your car breaks down, you know the mechanic down the road that will fix it. If this happens, you got this person, and you live in a comfortable zone. But when you get out of that, you start to realize really what the comfort zone is and where getting out of that really is. And I can remember the first times into Mexico, we go through these little towns and they had traffic cops that just had a whistle. And they'd just be standing there, you know, to tell the people if they could go or not. And I see them, and I mean, I would just break into a sweat. I thought, man, those cops, if they stop me, what am I going to do? And now when I go through those towns, I realize, hey, one of the missionaries say, if they don't have a gun or a radio, don't even stop. If they try to stop you and they don't have a radio or a gun, don't even stop. It's just a little joke that there's between the missionaries, because and there's a couple towns like Tampico where, I mean, they try to stop you with a whistle, you know, to give you a ticket or something, you know. And they say if they don't have a gun or a radio, because if they have a radio, they're going to radio the guy that's up ahead. If they got a gun, they might shoot your tire out. But if they don't have either of those, don't even stop. But I come to realize, you know, what's going on with them. Now I'm not afraid anymore. Those things are comfortable for me now. But there's other things out there. Every day we're moving into other areas. And every day it's something new that God wants to show you. God wants to take us. Life is exciting. It says God wants to give us life. He wants to give us life in abundance. He wants to prosper us. And prosperity is giving you good things. It's giving you something more. But to prosper, you have to invest. And it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart. To love the Lord. And to seek after Him every day. You'll see different things happen. Verse 17 and 18 talks about turning away from God. We're not going to talk about that because we're talking about looking for God, looking for the things of God. In verse 19, it says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that you and your children may," what? "Live. And that you may love the Lord your God." And then it says, "Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. The Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." It says, listen. It says, God wants to give you life. It says, listen to the Lord your God. There's so many things that we can listen to. But the only thing that's going to encourage you. Today I was starting to have a bad day. I started to think about, Diane and I started talking about some things that we needed to, what we're going to do. We're going to be leaving next Tuesday. We started to talk about the things that we needed to get done before we left and what we were going to do before we needed to go. And I started to just feel a little bit of pressure coming on me, and I started to get kind of, you're not going to believe this, started to get a little bit ornery. Any of you ever? I started to feel like, you know, you started to feel like the world's starting to come in on you. And Diane just got up and she kind of just walked away. I thought, oh, when that happens, you know that you're not very friendly to live with, you know. So I just got my Bible and I started reading. I started praying a little bit. And all of a sudden, I started to feel hope come back. All of a sudden, I started to feel like this is all going to work out. That's not the way, you know, I need to think, and that's not really what's going to happen. And all things start to change when you look for God and you look for the things God wants you to do. And the things God wants you to do are exciting. God wants you to be a blessing. God wants you to be excited. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be encouraged so you can encourage other people. Today, I'm excited about what's happening in Mexico, because for the last 2 years, I've had the opportunity to work with the youth group. Diane and I have been able to get a youth group up and running, and now we got three people that we're training in as leaders of the youth group. But it's been exciting to see the youth and to tell them, you guys can go out into your schools and you can make a difference. You can go out there and you can be lights. And I'll tell you what, today, if you live what's called a normal life according to the Word of God, you're going to live a radical life. You're going to live because radical means super normal. That's what radical means. It means super normal. And so if you live a radical life, if you live what the Word of God says, you're going to shine when you go into the school. If you don't do what the people in the world are doing, if you do what the Bible says, you're going to stand out. How many of you know that? If you don't say what they say, you're going to stand out. You know it's hard to stand out? That's one of the hardest things. Working with the youth, and I remember, being a youth way back when. And you want to fit in. But even as an adult, you want to fit in. It's not easy not to fit in. But when you don't fit in, you draw attention to yourself. But when you're not fitting in because you believe in what God says, people that are hungry, and there's hunger in the land today. There's hunger. People that are tattooing themselves from their forehead to their toes, they're hungry for God. They're hungry for truth. They're looking for, what is life all about? What is going on? They're drawing attention to themselves because they're looking for something more than what they have. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18, or 18 and, yeah, it's 18 and 19, says, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But to those that are being saved, or those that are saved, it's the power. It's the power. People are looking for power today. And the interesting thing is, I believe we're coming into the end times. I believe we're, and you know, I'm not saying that in a year or two, we might be talking about 4,000 or 5,000 more years. I don't know. But every day is one more day closer to the end. So every day we're getting closer, whether it's 100 years or 1,000 years more or 10,000 years, every day is a closer. But I believe we are coming in, and we're already in a time of the great harvest. You come up, like when I come up here, I listened to the news, and I thought, my goodness, things are going on, and there's no light up here. And all of a sudden I started to visit with some Christians. There's exciting things happening, but you're not going to hear about it on the 6 o'clock news. There's exciting things happening, but you're not going to hear about it on the 6 o'clock news. You're going to hear about it when you start talking to Christians who are excited about God, who are making a difference in where they're living. And that's what God is wanting to do today. And it's not easy to stand out, but God's saying that the things of the world are foolishness. It says He's going to confuse the foolish of this world. I remember, because when it all comes down, when Satan is brought down, all the power, all the things that intimidate you today, because Satan is here to intimidate you. How many of you know that? Satan is here to intimidate you. And if he can intimidate you, he can cause you from doing anything for God. I always say, everything I have done in my life that I feel is important, people have told me it was stupid before I started, or impossible, or that I shouldn't do it. People told me, when I told our pastor even that Diane and I were going to go to Mexico, he said, are you sure you should do that? I don't think you should do that. You know, you got all these kids, and he tried to discourage me. I remember when I was in language school, one of the teachers that loved me with all her heart, she said, Wally, well, out of 45 kids, I was fighting for second to last place in the class. And there's one teacher that just loved me with all her heart. I can still remember going up to her desk with my book that I was going to have to read. I couldn't read Spanish. I mean, I didn't even know what the words were, but I was up there trying to do it. And I can remember just shaking her head, just going, you know, and people said, you're never going to, you know, you can't be the bottom of 45 in the class, you know, and expect to speak, you know, just go get an interpreter, you know, when you go to Mexico. Don't try to botch up the Spanish. And today I can speak fluent Spanish. I speak Spanish the way I speak English. Might not be that fluent, right? And people told me, you're never going to be able to get a piece of land from the city's never going to give you a piece of land. The city gave us a piece of land. People said, you'll never be able to build a building. We built a building. People tell me, you're never going to see a church of 1,000 people in the city that you're in. In a couple years, you're going to come and you're going to witness it. Everybody is going to tell you that you can't do what God wants you to do, because Satan comes to intimidate you. Satan comes to intimidate you. And when Satan comes down, the last days, he's going to look so ridiculous. And those that follow after him and are deceived by him are going to say, why did I follow him? When I was in grade school, there was this kid that didn't like me. And he he had a little gang. And the gang he had were all the toughest guys in the class. And they were always pushing me around. And I was deathly afraid. He was smaller than me, but I was deathly afraid of him because of who was behind him. And I remember one day, we're playing softball at recess time. And I was playing first base. And he was batting. And he batted, and somebody threw me the ball, and I had my foot out like this. And he come running, he tripped over my leg, and he fell down. And I knew in an instant, because I tripped him, I either had to beat him up, or he was going to beat me up. And without even thinking, I jumped on top of him and started beating his face. Because I knew if I didn't beat his face, he was going to beat my face. Well, it took about 2 seconds, and I had about all his little gang that he had beating my face. But the interesting thing about that is, from that day on, he never threatened me anymore, and we turned out to be friends. But I'm telling you, that's the way the devil is. He's always threatening us. He's always telling us, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, and always intimidating us so we don't do anything for God. But God is telling us that Satan is a defeated foe. He can't do anything against you. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and... No, chapter Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Sorry. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This is God speaking to you and to me. He says, be strong, be courageous. Be strong, courageous. He isn't saying, be weak. He's saying, be strong, be courageous. Then he says, don't be terrified. Today, everybody is trying to terrify everybody else. Everybody's trying to terrify everybody else. Isn't that what's happening today? Terrorism is trying to terrify. Everyone is afraid. Everyone is looking for a way to be protected. But what's the only thing that's ever going to protect you? God. The interesting thing that I find in life is that we only get one. Do you ever think about that? We only get one. You only get one life. I think about that lots of times, and I think, what am I doing with my life? What could I have done with my life? How many of you ever thought about that? What am I doing with my life, and what could I have done with my life? I think sometimes, now if I wouldn't have went to Mexico, would I have one of those 1,000 cow operations? Because I was a dairy farmer? And I think, you know, or what if I would have went to another country? Or what if, you know, where would I be if I would have did something else? And when life is all said and done, you only get one. So what do you want when it's all said and done? What do you want? Is that what it's all about? What do you want when it's all done? And the interesting thing, if we look at the Bible, the only thing that really matters is what we know about God in a personal relationship and what we're doing for Him. And so many people think that you have to go and be a missionary. You have to go and do something really important, something that everyone in the world is going to see if you're going to do something for God. I don't believe that's true. It says, do what God's telling you to do. God tells us to worship Him in everything we do. I was thinking one day about that, and the Word of God says that God, when He comes back for His church, He's going to take one and leave another one. Two are going to be doing the same thing. He's going to take one and leave the other one. So two people can be doing the same thing. One can be honoring God, and the other one can be not dishonoring God, but not have a clue who God is. And I was thinking, how many believe that two people could be at Outback Steakhouse. Eating a steak. Both of them are sitting at the table eating a steak. One of them's honoring God, and one of them's not honoring God. What do you think, Lowell? He's smiling. He said, what is Wally talking about?
I hope the steak is gone first.
But I thought about that. You know what? You can honor God in a situation like that. The one person we sat in there just wolfing down a steak, not have a clue who God is or anything. The other person could be sitting there saying, God, thank you that you've given me this steak. Thank you that you're honoring me to be able to be in this place. One person can be glorifying God, changing the atmosphere of what's happening in that place, and the other person doesn't have a clue what's going on. And that's what God's talking to us about today. I believe there's revival in the land. There's revival in our church in Mexico. There's a revival in lots of churches and people in the United States and all over the world. But where does revival start? Revival starts in the heart of each and every one of us. Revival starts in the heart of each and every one of us. I hear people say, man, there's no revival in my church. You are the church. You are the church. Each one of us is the church. If there's revival, it's a personal thing. But when you get four or five people together, it's just like getting more wood on the fire. It gets to be a little hotter. It gets to be a little bit bigger. And it gets a little more intense. It says one can put to flight 1,000. Two can put to flight 10,000. So it just multiplies as we get it going. And what God is doing today is such an exciting thing. But what Satan is causing us to do is focus on all the things that he's doing. Satan is in Mexico, it's the same as it is here. There's so many people that are focusing on what the devil's doing and not taking time to focus on what God's doing. And really, if you look at your life and you look at what's going on in your life, there's more positive things going on than there are negative things. There's more positive things going on than there are negative things going on. And God's talking to Joshua here, and he's saying, be strong and be very courageous and be careful to obey the laws. And so many people think, you know, man, if you have to obey all the laws, that's a drag. And that's what the devil tells us. That's a drag, man. Obeying all the laws, I can't do anything fun. I can't do this, I can't do that. What can I do? I mean, you got to obey all the laws. But you know what the funnest thing is? Doing the right thing. There's nothing more fun than doing the right thing. Because when you do the wrong thing, it's like lying. When you lie, you have to lie again to cover that lie. Then you lie again to cover that lie. You lie again to cover that lie. The things of Satan are really, they're so complicated, and they make you feel so bad. But the exciting thing is when you do something for God and you see something, it's like Emmanuel. When he takes a step of faith, he says, we're going to pray on Fridays. And because he took a step of faith, he was able to lead someone to the Lord. And that made an impact on eternity. One soul, and you might say, well, I've never led anybody to the Lord. I'm never going to lead anybody to the Lord. There's other ways that you can be part of that. Not everybody is an evangelist. But everybody can be part of what God's doing. Everybody can pray. Everyone can encourage others. So God's doing a neat thing, but I like it in verse 9 where it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Satan has tried to discourage me so many times with the... It always sounds easy when a missionary or somebody comes and tells you what they're doing, because they don't tell you all the details of what all the other stuff that's going on. And whenever you do something, nothing goes as smooth as, you know, you think it's going to go. We solicited a piece of land, and the city gave us the 5 acres of land, but we never got the title and deed. So the city is in a conflict with the landowner or the developer, which is the landowner. And there's all this stuff going on, and we got in the middle of all this. All our documents are legal documents and stuff, but the city has a problem with the landowner because they did some things they shouldn't have done. And anyway, I get these ups and downs with the light company telling me one day that they're going to put the lights in, the next day they're telling me they're not going to put the lights in. The landowner coming and telling me, you know, help me with this and then we can do that and all this stuff going on. Well, anyway, one day we had, it was a Monday before the Vacation Bible School, and we had a teacher's meeting out at the land because we went out to see where we were going to have all the classes and how everything was going to be set up, and Diane did some teaching. And I was all excited. I'm talking about not being discouraged. And all of a sudden, I was all excited because all these things were happening, and I thought, man, this is going to be good and all this. And after it got done, people were outside, kids were outside playing, and I looked out there, and we had this lawn, this dream that, you know, all this stuff that we thought could happen someday. All these kids out there playing soccer out in front and everything. We have grass, it's green, and all of a sudden somebody says, Wally, somebody's looking for you. I looked in the back door, and there stands the developer, and he's a big guy. He's taller than I am, wider than I am, and he doesn't have any fat on him, so he's big. And when he talks to you, he likes to talk to you like this close. And I walked up there, and I knew that there was something wrong because he had two other people I didn't know with him. I walk up there, and he shook my hand. He says, "We're friends. I just wanted to say, let you know that we're friends." I go, "Yeah, I know. We've been friends for a while now. We're friends." And then he goes, but these guys are going to tell you what's going to happen to you. And there was two lawyers that were with him, and they started to tell me that they were going to throw me in jail. And I said, for some things that the city did. To pressure the city, he came in and told me he was going to put me in jail. Well, all of a sudden, I felt about this big, and I was like, all the excitement that I had in me kind of went out the bottom of my feet, and I kind of walked home like, I just want to go home. Let me go home and milk cows. Who told you can do this? And I got home, and I was whining and fussing to Diane, and she listened to me for about 10 minutes, and then she said, because this guy's name is Viscata, and I told her, I said, you know, I was half whining and fussing, and I said, we're not going to have Vacation Bible School out there because he's saying this and we can't do it and there's no way and I'm not going to fight against it. And I'm just, I don't care. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're not going to have Vacation Bible tomorrow. And the next day we were going to pour floor. And I had like 15, 20 people coming from the church that we're going to come and pour floor. And I told Diane, I'm just going to call them, and tomorrow morning I'm going to go out there and just tell them we're not going to pour floors. And I don't know what we're going to do, but she said to me, she said, the guy's name is Viscata, the developer and the landowner. And she goes, is that what Viscata's telling you to do, or is that what God's telling you to do? And I said, I think that's just what Viscata's telling me to do. I don't think that's what God's telling me to do. And all of a sudden, I didn't feel real encouraged, but I felt like, yeah, God's not telling me to stop this. God's not telling me to put the brakes on. And so many times, we need somebody who will come up and say, just kind of take us and shake us a little bit and say, is that what God's saying? Or is that what the devil's saying? Or whoever's saying? Because people will say, people will try to discourage you. People will tell you, what can you do for God? What do you go to that church for? What do you waste a Wednesday night? It's Wednesday, right? Wednesday night for. Don't you have a better thing to do on Wednesday night? Don't you think you should rest? You got to go to work tomorrow morning. Sunday, why do you want to go to church on Sunday? You know, can't you find something better to do? You don't give your money to that church, do you? I'll ask you that one too. So they'll ask you all these questions, you know, and like, who's talking? Is it God or is it man? It says, don't be discouraged. If God's talked to you and he's told you to do something, don't be discouraged. Do what God's telling you to do. I want to share one more scripture with you in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5 says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Tomorrow God will do amazing things among you. Today can look really gloomy, but can you believe that tomorrow God will do amazing things? You know what fear is? Fear isn't what you're thinking about. It's happening right now. Fear is when you start thinking about what's going to happen 10 minutes from now, or tomorrow, or a month from now. We fear things that aren't here yet. Things that are here, right now, present, we're dealing with. We're dealing with them. What's happening right now, you're dealing with. It can be sickness, it can be finances, it can be a problem, a relationship problem, but what's happening right now in this moment, you're dealing with it. You fear things that haven't happened yet, things that are coming. And the devil always tells you that tomorrow is going to be worse than today. The devil's always going to tell you that tomorrow is going to be worse than today. God tells you, but tomorrow, amazing things are going to happen. You want to get encouraged? If somebody tells you that tomorrow something good is going to happen, you get encouraged, don't you? But if somebody tells you, tomorrow we're going to throw you in jail, you really don't want tomorrow to come. You don't get too excited about tomorrow coming, especially if it's a Mexican jail, because they don't have television. They don't have air conditioning. They don't even have windows. I went to our jail in Valles. I've been in there a couple times. They make coffins in there. Because you, if you're in jail and nobody brings you anything to eat, you know, I mean, you might get a bowl of soup that they ran the chicken through 2-3 times, and that's about all you get. So, or you can work and you can buy yourself something. So they make coffins. So I've been in there a couple times to buy coffins, and I mean, you go in there and they take you right inside where they live. And I mean, the first time I was in there and I saw it, it's like three deep, the bunks, and it's about, the entryway is about this wide, you can barely get through it. It's three high bunks, and the highest bunk is up about 6 feet. And so you got three people with about a foot between each bunk, and it's three deep, and there's no window in there, there's no fan in there, there's no light in there, and I think, I'll do anything to not have to go in there. So if they tell you tomorrow they're going to throw you in a Mexican jail, you're not looking too forward to tomorrow. But if they tell you tomorrow great and amazing things are going to happen, you're looking forward to tomorrow. So what's going to happen to you tomorrow? Great and amazing things God's going to do in our life tomorrow. Tomorrow, if I'm in school, tomorrow great and mighty things, amazing things are going to happen to me in school tomorrow. If I'm in a job and I'm the only Christian, so many people say, you don't know what it's like, I'm the only one. In the whole factory, I'm the only Christian. That's exciting. Not everybody's all that excited, but it is exciting. You're the only light. Imagine what you can do. Imagine what you can do. You can do so much, and you don't have to even witness with your mouth. Just your presence is going to make a difference. So God's saying tomorrow, great, amazing things are going to happen. One day each one of us is going to be, we're going to be in heaven talking about all the things that happen. But how we got there, what we did. We're going to be talking about exciting things that God's done in our life. We're going to talk about all the people. That person right there, remember when we prayed for him? Remember when we prayed for her? Remember when this happened? Remember when that happened? This person came, that person came. Exciting things are happening. But the devil is always coming. And there's not great and not so great people in the kingdom of God. We're all great people. We're all the sons and daughters of God. We all have the Holy Spirit within us. We all have the ability to do something mighty for God. And you might think, again, you might think, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I can't stand up. I can't sing. I can't do this. How many of you can pray over a steak at Outback? How many of you can praise God for the little things and the big things that he's done? That's where it starts. And from there, God just keeps opening things up and just keeps going. It's an exciting time to be living. It's not bad to listen to the news, but you're not going to hear what God's doing on the 6 o'clock news. You're going to hear all the things that Satan's doing, and God's doing great things. And you're going to hear that in the spirit. You're going to hear that talking to people who are looking for God and are hungry for God. Let's pray. Father God, this is a great and exciting time to be alive. And I thank you, Father, for the church here in Wilson, Father, all our friends here, the part that they've had with us in Valles, Lord, and everything that we're doing, they're part of it. We thank you for those that have been able to come down and put a hand to the plow with us. We thank you for those that have been able to pray and intercede and be part of the work there. Thank you for those that encourage us, those that have been able to financially help. Lord, we just pray that you continue knitting our hearts together, knitting the hearts of the nations. Even as we sang this song, Father, that send us to the nations. We can go, Father, in the Spirit. We can go, Father, in prayer. We can go, Father, in so many different ways. And we thank you for what you're doing. I just pray, Lord, that you just expand the vision of each and every one of us. I pray, Father, that each and every one of us will be able to go up levels, and not just one level or two levels, but we just continue to going up, continue to expand in the areas that we've never went. Help us to be the light that you want us to be. Help us to be strong and courageous. Help us to not fear, not to be terrified by the things that Satan is saying, the things that Satan is doing, but help us to believe that tomorrow you're going to do amazing things. Help us to believe that there's nothing impossible for our God, and there's nothing impossible for those that believe in him. Bless us, Father, and cause us to be a blessing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you for being part, for your encouragement, for being our friends. Lord bless you.